Well, I feel inspired this morning. Freshly come out of a beautiful worship service. How many of you get inspired in a worship service? Isn't it? It's just like one of my staples in life. I need to have worship. Some people are praying people. I love to pray too. Some people are Bible study people. They love to be in the Word. Some people are fellowship people. And not any one of those is the end all. Amen? There are strong suits, there are strong desires, but if you neglect any one of them, it's like neglecting a crucial vitamin in your diet. And so, so it's important to have all of them, the giving, and the more difficult ones, sometimes the more challenging ones. But how many have been challenged to read your Bible at times? Doesn't it seem to come and go in seasons? There are times where you're really hungry for it, and then other times it's a challenge. I wish it was like eating food, like cake or spaghetti or something like that. It doesn't seem like my desire for spaghetti ever ebbs and flows. It's always just there. I want spaghetti. But praise God for fasting. Amen? Praise God for fasting. Second week. We're into our second week now. And hallelujah. It's a good thing. So to be inspired, I hope that there never comes a time when I don't feel inspired to share a word of God or to share pollen. And I think that if I do, there must be something wrong with me. Maybe one of my ingredients is lacking. Maybe I'm bored. Maybe my relationship with Jesus isn't quite where it needs to be. And I think that's one of the important things about coming together like this is that we inspire one another. Amen? When you're sitting around having conversation, it's supposed to be inspiring. And it is when we're all coming from our time of intimacy with the Lord. Remember we talked about it, the bee gets covered in pollen. When we are having times of intimacy with our Lord, we come covered with pollen. And so I can't help but be inspired by you all when we get together. And I'm hoping that this message is a result of me coming out of the Holy of Holies with the Lord. I do believe that it came from God. Of all places, from in front of the television. Lisa and I were on a trip, and we turned on the news. I think it was Squawk Box, one of the news stations. And this gentleman, who is CEO and chairman of Aetna, his name is Mark Bertolini. And I'll share a little bit more about him, but he shared a phrase called present and prepared, and it pierced my heart. Has anybody ever been there? Do you only get touched by the Lord when you're in the Holy of Holies? Or, I mean, you can get touched by God anywhere. I mean, it doesn't have to be when we're on our knees. And isn't that our heart's desire, that we're more and more aware of God's presence? I'm hoping that we're aware of God's presence when we're on our knees. Amen? Because what a waste of time if you're on your knees for an hour praying and you don't sense God's presence. I do believe that happens for people. I think that there are religious people, people who are serving a religion, who are very regimented and will pray so many times a day. But God's presence is nowhere to be found in their prayer time. What a sad, sad thing. So, hallelujah, if you're there, then there's always a fresh opportunity, amen, to clean the bugs off the windshield and get aware. Isn't that great, great, that's the gospel is called the good news. Isn't this great news to someone who hasn't been aware of God's presence before, that you can come to a place in an instant where you become aware of God's presence? I don't care what religion you are, what denomination you are. I don't care how far away from God you've been. I don't care what you've been serving or what you've been in bondage to. That in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, you can become aware of God's presence. Look at Saul. He was persecuting the church with a vengeance. He was very religious. He was serving a religion. And in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, God revealed himself. Jesus spoke to him, Saul, Saul, called him by name. We serve a God that is alive. We serve a God that desires for us to be aware of his presence and has made it possible for us to be aware of his presence. That's pretty exciting news. That is the gospel. And Jesus is the answer. So the title of this message today is Present and Prepared in the Scripture. Isaiah 6:8 is one of my favorites. I probably had it on here last week. And so here the prophet's saying, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And the prophet said, Here am I. And so last week I probably mentioned that, do you have to be a prophet to be sent? And we talked about, no, God is desiring all of us to carry the kingdom. So here I would like to now begin talking about this gentleman who spoke the phrase, and I don't know if it was his phrase that he picked it up, or if he's repeating something that he heard in a how-to book on how to be a CEO and chairman of a company or whatever, but he shared it, and that pierced my heart. So anyway, Mark Bertolini, if you've never heard him speak, it's worth Googling him or whatever. I wish he'd run for president. Honestly, I don't know him well enough. I don't know his background, his philosophy, what his beliefs are. But boy, did I like what he had to say. The way he spoke, it was really captivating, and I felt like he was a wise man. So he was talking about the plan he had for his employees to be most productive. He was speaking about their need to get the proper amount of sleep. And listen, he was even giving bonuses to people who, I forget how they did it, but they would come in with the, I just had so many hours of sleep. I think they had to have 8 hours of sleep a night for some weeks at a time. And he would give them a bonus, a certain percent, a certain amount of money, and their paycheck would reflect their success. Because he so understood that it was important, he so understood the human being's need for sleep. Isn't that interesting that a company, a CEO of a company, is recognizing the human being's need for sleep? It seems countercultural. That CEOs are driving, we got to get more work out of these people, let's turn it into a 12-hour day or whatever. But he was realizing the health of the individual made for a more productive individual and therefore a more prosperous company. And haven't we been talking about this for years now? We even probably addressed sleep at one of our gatherings. To be healthy, spirit, soul, and body. So in the interview, the phrase present and prepared, he realized in order for his company to be on top of its game, his employees needed to be present and prepared. He cited all the increase in productivity when the people were healthy. Incidentally, in the 6 years since this man's become CEO of Aetna, Aetna's value has quadrupled. Huh? The guy's thinking out of the box, bringing instruction and incentive to be healthy. And as a result of that, as people engaged with it, as they valued it and engaged with it, the manifestation was productivity and increase in value, quadrupled in the 6 years since that man became CEO and chairman. Pretty cool, isn't it? The proof is in the pudding. So this is strictly in the secular arena, in the physical realm. Just as people began to engage and become more healthy, they became more productive. Can you imagine if the church got a hold of this? Can you imagine if the church got a hold of how important it is to be healthy? What would our productivity become like? Amen. For the kingdom. Hallelujah. So let's look at a few words. Present, and the phrase present and prepared. Let's look at the word present. And I'm looking at the adjective part of it. And the first part of this definition is in a particular place. An example in a sentence, a doctor must be present at ringside. The speech caused embarrassment to all those present. So, in order for God's team to be at its best, we need to be present or in a particular place. Now, this is challenging to everyone, including myself. Are we where God wants us to be? And do you have an assurance of that? We always go back to, why do I do what I do? I never want us to become part of the great machine where we're just going through the motions. We're just on this planet going through the motions. I always want us to be inspired, and I'm hoping that these messages will be challenging to us, because the assignment of the devil is against the gift of God. The devil is constantly trying to draw us into apathy and complacency and lethargy, rebellion, selfishness. It's super important to know where you are at any given moment that you are present, that you are in a particular place. You are in a particular place because you are in agreement with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is calling the body of Christ to be in a particular place. We are members of a body. You as an individual, He's calling you to be in a particular place at any given moment. And there is a strategy against that. The devil will want you here. The devil will want you there. The world will want you here. Your flesh will want you there. And it's only when we come into agreement, we have revelation, our eyes are opened as a result of our prayer and fasting and seeking God, because it's important to us. We value God's opinion, we value God's desires, and we understand that, and then we engage with it. I say, I understand, Lord, you want me here, and I will go. Here am I, send me. And so I am in a particular place for a particular reason. Isn't this good stuff? That the word present, this one guy shares this thing, is about my company, present and prepared. All of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes in like a flood. Says, I want my people to be present and prepared. But first they need to be present. They need to come into agreement. They need to move. They need to stay. They need to go in agreement and cooperation with my Holy Spirit. Because what? What on earth is God doing? If you are not present where God called you to be, you are not part of what God is doing on the earth today. You're a part of 10,000 other things, but you are not a part of what God is doing on the earth. And who wants to be a part of what God is doing on the earth? I do. The only way you can do that is if you are present. If you are where? In a particular place. And if we will have revelation, I trust the Holy Spirit, for all those who are listening, for the Holy Spirit to quicken right now the importance of being present. The importance of being in a particular place every day. It might be important for you to be at the post office. It might be important for you to be at the grocery store. It might be important for you to be somewhere at the doctor's office, wherever you're going to. Hallelujah. But don't just wake up and allow the grind of everyday normal life. This is what I'm going to do today, just because of a habit. How many believe that your job is important? It's how God chooses to provide for us. But how many of you, if the Holy Spirit quickened you and say, I need you to go somewhere right now, would you put your tools down and go? Or would you say, well, I'm still punched in? How many are challenged by moving in the Holy Spirit or staying with the Holy Spirit? To be present, hallelujah. And then with that, listen, comes a knowing. When you know that you know you've heard from the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, when you come to the end of the road and you go right or left, Lord, and He says to go right, and you go right, and how many know that no matter what it looks like when you're going down that road, there's a confidence and a comfort that comes with that? I am where God, look at Church on the Rock right now. We're few in number, but how many have a confidence that we are where we are called to be right now? I'm willing to not be here, but hallelujah, once we have assurance, we've had out of the mouth of two or three has spoken, stay the course. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by how we feel. We're obedient. Hallelujah. We hear. With that comes confidence. I don't care how many people are sitting here. We're going to do what we've been called to do. We are going to be in a particular place. There comes a confidence and a comfort. You can have peace. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Hallelujah, or how it feels, I know I am where God wants me to be. Good stuff, amen? To be present. Now, let's look at the second word, prepared. It's made ready for use. How many like that? To be prepared is to have been made ready for use. To be made ready for use. Ephesians says, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, said, we are His workmanship created in Christ. Do you get a sense of having been made ready for use? That scripture says, we are created. We are His workmanship. Now the question is, are you confident that you are ready for use? Okay? First, it's important that we realize that we're present. We are in a particular place for a reason. Now that you've shown up to this place, do you believe that you are ready for use? Many people don't like discipline. Discipline is one of those ugly words. We talk about it in prayer, the word submit. A lot of people's hair goes up when you hear submit. Another word that comes up in Christian circles or any circle is the word discipline. People typically don't like that word. Why? Because with that word comes the idea of difficulty. It's hard. Discipline. What thoughts come to your mind when you hear the word discipline? Discipline. Discipline in your diet, discipline in your exercise, discipline in your way of speaking or in your way of thinking or how you feel, your emotions. Discipline is a hard word. It's a difficult word. But unless we value that word and engage with it, we will never benefit from it. I shared in my testimony, which is now on our website, hallelujah, March 19th, I had the chance of sharing my testimony in Full Gospel Businessman's Breakfast at Cape Cod. And with that, I shared to a degree about the importance of discipline and how when I was first born again, the Holy Spirit led me to discipline. He led me to reading my Bible. And with that, there's some difficulty when it comes to discipline, but there's also a sense of value. I value this. I believe that it's been handed to me by God. I believe the scriptures have been given to me by God. Therefore, I treasure them. And I want to know more. There was a hunger that came with it. Same thing with prayer. How many enjoy getting up at 5 in the morning and getting on your knees and praying for an hour? When the Holy Spirit first speaks that to you, it is Mount Everest. Now, I'm not coming up with a law for you and a criteria for success. What I'm talking to you about how the Holy Spirit led me. He led me to get up at 5 in the morning and pray. And I want you to know that when you have the opportunity to wake up at 5 and go pray, that the way you feel when you are in bed, you've never felt more comfortable. You've never felt more relaxed and cozy. As 4:58. You have 2 minutes before your alarm goes off and you've never been more comfortable. And you know what? You've been up for 5 hours before that because you were tossing and turning. You couldn't sleep. You're up all night, and then you finally feel comfortable. Your eyelids are closing. You're falling into a deep, deep sound sleep. You're dreaming wonderful dreams, and wink, 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 wink. It's time to get up. The temptation to roll over, to hit the snooze button. But I want you to know, I valued what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I did it. I was obedient. I did it for an extended period of time. I'm not talking about weeks. I'm talking about years. And with that came this wonderful blessing of prayer, that I understood what it was to be in God's presence and to pray. Talking to God, having conversation, petitioning God, and intercession. It was a wonderful experience. But that was the discipline, the scriptures, going to church to listen to preaching and teaching. All kinds of opportunities to not do it. But every step of the way, I felt like God was sharing it with me, not as a law to be a good Christian, but to be prepared. It's always been in my heart to be available to God. As long as I was on the planet, I wanted to be available to God. And I believed that in order to be available, I needed to be prepared. And that there comes the confidence. And let me tell you, prepared doesn't mean I can quote the Bible. Prepared doesn't mean I can pray better than anyone else. Prepared doesn't mean that I know how to do everything better. Prepared means that I've been in the Holy of Holies with the Lord. Prepared means I understand what it is to study the Bible, to show myself approved, but not as a legalist Pharisee, but understanding God's heart through the scriptures. I'm prepared to be sent because I know God. It doesn't mean I'm the greatest speaker. It doesn't mean I'm the best person to lay hands on the sick. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that I spent time with God. Hallelujah. Let me show you an example of someone who you might feel, and Pat brought up the idea of the early church. And this person might be the least qualified person you would ever guess. If you're going to pick anybody in the early church, who would you pick to be available to God? And just saying his name, you're going to say, it could never be him. Cornelius. Is that a good Jewish name? Cornelius. You're thinking of the early church. Jesus spoke to the Jews. Jesus spoke to the Hebrews. You're going to the Jews. Bring my word to the Jews. The early church was all about Jerusalem and Judea, right? The Jews. Let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 10, and we're just going to read a few verses here, starting in verse 1. Certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. So he's not an Israelite. That right there, you'd think he'd be disqualified from being prepared. He was present, but he couldn't be prepared. He's of the Italian regiment. He's not an Israelite. Verse 2. He was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, and who gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed to God always. How do you want to be confident that you are prepared? You don't have to be born of the seed of David. It's not a select group of people that are of a certain nationality who are the prepared ones. This man was not an Israelite, and yet he was prepared. Because he was a devout man, one who feared God, and who gave generously, and he prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your almsgiving has come up as a memorial before God. I just want to encourage all those who are being faithful. to continue being faithful. Stay the course. What you're doing is recognized in heaven. God sees it. Don't give up. Keep going. It's recognized by God. Cornelius was present and prepared. Are you thoroughly equipped? Is that a question that runs through your mind? Have you ever been somewhere and you don't feel thoroughly equipped? You don't feel adequate? You feel inadequate? I want you to know a few things. That, number one, you can play a part. You can be a participant in your readiness. God is not just zapping people with lightning bolts, making them ready. He is leading us by the power of His Holy Spirit. He's encouraging us on a path of preparedness. So that when it comes time for us to be in a particular place, we, like Cornelius, will be able to say, "Hallelujah. Speak, Lord, your servant heareth." It said later on in that text that Cornelius was praying and fasting when he got a vision of the angel. The angel came to him and he spoke to him. And as a result of Cornelius being prepared and being where God called him to be, he could have been at work that day. He could have been anywhere, but where was he? He was praying and fasting. How many of us, if we were called to be home praying and fasting, that God would find us in that particular place? Or would we be too busy? Would we be running errands? Would we be out doing this or doing that, doing 1,000 different things? If God called you to be home praying and fasting today, would you be in that particular place? As a result of him being in that particular place, and as a result of him being faithful and loyal to the disciplines, he was prepared. And as a result of that, Cornelius was able to be a part of history in that, that the Apostle Peter was drawn to him. He was summoned, "Go to this man." And Peter was prepared. He had a vision of the sheet coming down. And so Peter came to this household, and as a result, the Holy Spirit descended on them with power, and they began to pray in the Spirit. And Peter the Apostle said, "Who will prevent water from these people to be baptized, seeing as how God has poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit on them?" Peter and his Cornelius was present. He was where he was called to be. It was in a particular place, and he was prepared. He walked in obedience and faithfulness, and God used that man, and his household got saved. People got filled with the Holy Spirit. What a blessing to be present and prepared. It's so worth it. How would you like to be present and, you know? Now, this is not to take anything away from the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. We're not in any way saying that we can do what God's called us to do in the flesh. Amen? Right. "Not by might, not by power, says the Lord, but by my Spirit." And who's heard the phrase, "Where the Spirit guides, God's grace provides"? But I want you to know that God is not typically calling the people who are not preparing themselves, who do not value being a part of what God is doing on the earth. Those people tend to be on the bleachers, or those people tend to be off doing, spinning their own thing and spinning around and going in circles. And it's those who have a heart to be a part of what God is doing they're cooperating with the Holy Spirit. So God will send those people. I was not qualified to go to Czechoslovakia, lay hands on the sick, and cast out devils. I didn't go to seminary. I didn't go to Bible school. I wasn't even in church for a year. I'm not qualified to sing on a worship team. I never took music lessons. I don't know how to sing. God's grace provides for those people who are led by the Spirit. He'll come in and enable you what you couldn't do by yourself. So we're not talking about a works thing here, of in the flesh type stuff. But God has seen me. He's seen the desire of my heart. He's seen me practicing. He's seen me. And so then comes the, all right, I see you. That's what's making us prepared. Amen? The desire of your heart is what's making us prepared. Because it's the desire to be a part of what God's doing and availability that causes us to submit to the disciplines. Amen? Does it make sense? It's not confusing, right? All right, some added protection. This is something that's super important. We've talked about all of the fundamentals of our diet, you know, spirit, soul, and body. One thing that God is adding through Revelation is Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, in preparedness. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers of this dark age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench every fiery dart, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So in preparedness, there's a whole bunch of, maybe we'll talk more about this, a Bible study, maybe we can look at this, the armor of God. But I think it's important for us to become aware of the armor of God. If God is talking about us being present and prepared, we need to be aware that the devil is against us being present and the devil is against us being prepared. And if we are not embracing and receiving from God the armor which He has given us, we will not be able to be what? Able to stand. God wants us to be in a particular place and be able to stand there. It's like King of the Hill. Remember King of the Hill? You're trying to be on the top of the hill, and other people are trying to push you off. And what God is saying, if you have the armor, you will be able to stand. No devil will be able to push you out of the position, that particular place that God has called you to be. And remember, the devil is not only trying to push you off the hill, he's trying to lure you off the hill. Remember the dazzling salesman? Something looks better over here. This hill looks nicer over here. The grass is greener over here, to lure you. If he can't push you off the hill, he'll try to lure you out of your particular place. And he also will attempt for you to be unprepared. But with the armor of God, amen, we'll be able to quench every fiery dart of the dart that's trying to make us not prepared. And one of the key things in preparedness, and I'm going to close with this, it was the shoes of the preparation of the gospel. People oftentimes skip over the preparation of the gospel. They say, the shoes of the gospel of peace. How lovely on the mountains are those, right? It's all about the gospel. That particular verse, in my opinion, speaks to the preparedness of the gospel. And what was John the Baptist's cry? Prepare ye the way. the voice of the preparation of the gospel. Jesus is the good news. Jesus was coming. The preparedness was John the Baptist preparing a way for the Messiah with his voice. And what was his voice saying? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The voice of the preparation of the gospel was repent. And so the shoes of the preparation of the gospel, shoes in scriptures speak of walking, your walk. So if you tie all this together, we have walking in repentance. Walking in the preparation of the gospel, John the Baptist was the preparation of the good news of Jesus coming, and his voice was repent. Walking in repentance is a way that you and I can be prepared. Because we get off track, don't we? We go to the left, we go to the right. But God has given us this wonderful gift. It's part of our armor, the ability to change course, the ability to be sorry for moving in the wrong direction, the ability to change. Once you're sorry, to turn around and go that way no more, and to choose to agree with the way, the direction that God wants us to be. So if he's called us to be in a place, a particular place, to be present there, and we've been lured away from that, that we have the ability to repent and be where he's, that particular place. So just because you've been knocked off the mountain, don't fret. Use your gospel of preparation of the gospel shoes. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm hoping that the revelation, and continue to focus on that. This is just like a little catalyst here. We get together. So many people go to church. They go to church to hear the sermon so I can get cranked up for the week. And that little pill, that little pollen ball that attaches to you on Sunday morning through the teaching, how long is that going to last you? So many people are living off of last week's sermon from week to week. It's like a paycheck. You get so much, you spend it all that week, and then the next week you don't have enough. That's how sermons are. They're not meant to last you a lifetime. It's meant to be a catalyst. It's meant to cause hunger and inspiration so that you will go home and devour everything there is to devour about being present and prepared. That you will go home and study, what is it about the armor of God that I am not utilizing? Would I need to know more about the helmet of salvation so that I will be prepared? Hallelujah, that nobody's going to knock me off of my particular place. Because God's called us to be there like Cornelius for a reason, so that the kingdom of God would be advanced, hallelujah, sustained and advanced. All right, so present and prepared, there's a nice picture here of a diverse-looking group of people of all varying types of occupations. And so the question is, are you in the place that God has you? Are you in that particular place that God has prepared for you? Hallelujah. So I just encourage everyone to bow for a moment and ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, are you where God has called you to be? Remember, we can stretch this out from a moment, like, are you supposed to be here this morning? You know, for this hour, are you in this particular place for an hour? Or are you in this particular place for the season of your life? Right? And do you feel like you've been agreeing with the Holy Spirit that you are as prepared as you could possibly be? We are preparing for a Spring Forth conference. We're preparing through prayer and fasting, another way to be prepared. Prayer and fasting. What's the worship team doing? Prayer and fasting, but we're practicing. Who wants to be ready? You're on the worship team. Who wants to be ready when it comes time for you to be present and prepared? Or I know it. I know when I am not practicing my guitar, when I am not singing practicing, I'm not confident, I'm not comfortable, I'm not prepared. I show up there and I'm just, oh, Lord, you're going to have to zap me with a lightning bolt, you know what I mean, in order for me to have the anointing. Is that where we want to be? And so I'm just using that as a tiny little example. Are we as prepared as we would like to be? Because any moment God might choose you. Are you available? Are you like the prophet? Are you saying, here am I. Send me. I want to go for you, Lord. I want to be in a particular place at a particular time to deliver a particular grain of kingdom pollen to somebody. However that looks. Present and prepared. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.